say no amount of untruths can separate us. I reach out. Oh, I reach out and you find.
Thankful for the simple gospel that Jesus Christ of Nazareth, God Almighty in the flesh, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, raised the dead, cast out demons. Lord, then you died on that cross for our sins, and you rose from the dead on the third day, and you are the only way to heaven. You are the only way to eternal life. You're the only way sins can be forgiven. And Lord, we look to you and we worship you as King of Kings, God Almighty, God of creation. We worship you, we exalt you, and we thank you today for the simple gospel that we simply must believe what you did for us, repent of our sins, take up our cross, and follow you. Lord, that's the simple gospel, and we thank you for it. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. Praise be to God. Good to see everyone today. Hallelujah. We welcome everyone to Fire and Grace Church. We welcome those watching and listening all over the country, all over different parts of the world. Man, we know people are watching all over the world because this year we enrolled a bunch of international students in the school. So we know they're watching all over the place, and so it's good to have everyone. Though this message may be a little more United States of America focused this morning, this is still what I'm going to be talking about today. It's happening all over the world. I've just entitled this today, Disappearing Freedom. And I'm going to be talking about some things that are going on in our country right now. But let me just say this. I'm actually shocked at how far gone Australia is right now. Keep hearing from my Australian friends and keep seeing news clips of how bad it is there. I recorded a video on my phone yesterday. I just have time to get it up this morning. But, man, let me tell you, they're requiring businesses now in Australia to hire coronavirus marshals, okay? And that if you're not complying, they find you not complying in a business or a church or somewhere like that, then the marshals call the police. And take you off to jail. But let me tell you where the Australians messed up was not too long ago. They let them take their guns. Now, this was before the coronavirus thing. So they took their guns away. And now all of a sudden they can't do anything. Really, Australia is under the full now power and thumb of this whole New World Order agenda. And they're trying to do it here in the United States. And I can assure you that if Joe, Sleepy Joe Biden, Creepy Joe, in your personal space, Joe, becomes president of the United States, this will be upon us just like it is in Australia. That is a fact. But let me just go on and share you this. If Trump manages to win, which I think he will, we'll have to see, but I do believe he will. But still, what people don't know is how much power and authority that are really, it's up to the governors of the states to choose. See, the federal government really cannot, by the Constitution, mandate a vaccine. But governors can. And will. Not only will they mandate a vaccine, they'll come down with gun confiscation. What is it, Kamala Harris? Kamala put you in jail, Harris? She's already said she wants a mandatory buyback. Wait a minute. That's socialist, communist, Democrat speak for confiscation. That's what they want to do. Not to mention they're fine with killing babies the moment before they're born. And actually what we found out was it the Virginia governor that said that he wanted it to be even after they were born. See, we live in a time that's so evil. And I'm just going to tell you right now, the Democrats are just plain evil. Now, don't get me wrong. There's some evil Republicans. There's some Republicans playing games like they're, you know, conservative. Some of them pretend to be Christian. The Bush family was a good example of that. John McCain, Mitt Romney. There's a whole list of them that are rhinos, Republican in name only, right? But you're going to be shocked because we need a little lesson this morning, and particularly the Constitution of the United States, the law in this land. And Americans, you better stand up or we're going to end up like Australia or like how bad it is now in England and really in all over Europe. They don't even want people to have a knife to defend themselves. I mean, it's pretty bad. All right, but let's get into this morning. We're going to go through some scriptures. So take your Bible out, and let's go to Luke 21 first. This is Jesus speaking. A lot of times here we go to Matthew 24. This is the parallel passage here in Luke. But Luke gives us another little verse here that we don't talk about too often in the context of the last days that we live in. Well, the Lord warned us what was going to happen. Of course, Matthew 24, he said, when they ask you, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world, the end of the age? First thing Jesus said, take heed no man deceive you. Many will come in my name, saying I am Christ, and deceive many. And then he goes on to say this, and let's just read this here from Luke, starting at Luke 21, verse 9. But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation. That's that ethnos, Greek word, ethnic, races against races, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places. This is why I think there's a 10.0 that's never happened before that's coming. Great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences or plagues, and fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. And yes, there's going to be some things from the heavens. They're going to claim or UFOs and asteroids and all this other stuff, but don't be fooled. Verse 12, though, is the one we don't pay much attention to, especially Americans, but you better start. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, and delivering you up to the synagogues and into the prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. Now, some people would say that was just for the apostles or just for the Jews. No. What are the signs of your coming and of the end of the age? That's the context. And he said, they're going to lay hands on you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to deliver you up to the synagogues. Listen, 2,700 Christian leaders just agreed to push you to get the vaccine that's coming. I believe you're going to be delivered to church councils and into prisons. This is what we don't talk about, into prison. Some of us in America are going to go to jail because we refuse to surrender to the beast system, to the beast state that's trying to be forced upon us. Okay? Whether the federal government does it or whether the state government or a city government, there are people going to go to jail. Right now in Australia, I mean, I saw a woman get tackled and choked in the street in Australia because she didn't have a mask on. Now, they took their guns, so how are they going to defend themselves from tyrants? You can't. Let me just say this. America was birthed, number one, on Christian principles. Number two, on the right to defend ourselves from tyrants. That's what our country is founded on. That's why most of the world doesn't like us, right? I posted a little Forrest Gump meme a while back. Forrest Gump said, you know, the British came in and tried to take our guns. We shot them. What he said. And a British fellow that's on my Facebook, he goes, you know, I almost get offended by that. He was just laughing. But it's true. It's like we finally, you know, America stood up. That's why we're here. That's why we have freedom to worship. That's why we have the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and the Fourth Amendment and the Fifth Amendment and the Tenth in particular. I was reading them all yesterday. How many, when was the last time any of you read the Constitution or at least the Bill of Rights? You need to read it again. Actually, you should have it memorized. You homeschool moms, there's your job. Because I can tell you right now, the public schools are not teaching it to them. No, they're teaching them communism's good. Socialism's good, right? But they're going to throw you into prison. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And you shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my namesake. Let me tell you, the moment you resist this coming RNA, DNA changing vaccine, you're going to be hated because you're putting them in danger. Right? You're putting everyone in danger because you won't take their poison. Right? You're going to be hated. It makes more sense now, doesn't it? Doesn't this passage make more sense now? It's not just about hating Christianity, but hating you because you won't follow the system, the beast system. You won't submit to it. So you're going to be hated. Because if we'd all just be good global citizens, isn't that what they call it now? Oh, listen, I went to Microsoft's page yesterday. This ID 2020 thing is for real. Everybody thinks it's a conspiracy theory. No, it's for real. They're saying if you don't accept it, you will not be. It says it on the page. You will not be able to buy or sell. It says it on their page. Microsoft. Not a Christian website, mind you. Not a end time prophecy preacher. No, Microsoft's website. That's for another day. Let's read this one. This is a special passage to Sal. We won't go into why. But God works miracles, doesn't he, Sal? Revelation 2, 8 through 11. Here's what it says. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Look at verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith in the churches. He that overcometh, or the word overcometh is a military term, who gets the victory in this situation, will not be hurt of the second death. What is the second death? When you're separated from God forever and you're cast into the lake of fire, where the smoke of your torment will rise day and night forever, and you will have no rest. That's the second death. We should call it the second separation. Because death is simply a separation from God. It's not a ceasing to exist. Now let's keep going. He said, the devil will cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. Be faithful unto death. You know, I had somebody this morning trying to teach me, tell me we're once saved, always saved, no matter how we live. Let me ask something. If that was true, why would Jesus say, be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life? Why would he say that? Sounds conditional to me. What happens if you start denying Jesus, wanting to save your own neck? You want to save your life. What happened? What did Jesus say about that? If you try to save your life, you'll lose it. But if you'll lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. Some of us are going to be cast into prison. And he says, don't fear those things that you will suffer. And basically 10 days, they're saying it's not going to be long. You won't be there long. But be faithful even through that persecution, that suffering, even death, and you will get the crown of life. What is the crown of life? It's eternal life with him. So if you're not faithful unto death, you will not get the crown of life, which is eternal life. You hear me? This is important. This is Bible. Be faithful to Jesus Christ. Do not deny him. Do not forsake him. Do not try to preserve your life or your finances or anything. If you have to deny him to preserve any of those things, then those things are idols in your life, and they're going to separate you from him. Okay? This is very important that we understand this. Now, Revelation 20, I want to read this, 1 through 8. I mentioned this last week. Again, this is another destruction of the pre-tribulation rapture false doctrine. I just delete these people now because they're just delusional. You give them the word, and they just want to keep arguing. I'm just like, okay, all right, bye-bye now. Somebody said Jesus wouldn't block somebody. I said, he's coming back to kill so many people, the blood's going to run to the horse's bridle. Don't tell me he wouldn't block somebody. People got a wrong idea. They think Jesus is just about love. No, he's about love until you keep blowing it, and then you're going to get the wrath. And you don't want the wrath. I mean, we were warned all the way back by King David, 1000 B.C. He said, kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you, and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little, in Psalm 2. Don't be playing games with Jesus. Jesus will love you and forgive you and save you and heal you and deliver you. But if you want to be rebellious, you want to be disobedient, you want to deny him, forsake him, you want to be wicked, you want to practice evil, you want to compromise, you want to love the world, well, guess what? You just got on his bad side. And it's no good for you. It will be no good for you. Everybody says, and I saw, this is Revelation 20, verse 1, I saw an angel come down from heaven. It's when Jesus returns, and he is going to return, folks. I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. I love that. Make sure we don't misunderstand who we're talking about. And bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now remember, this is John seeing this into the future. He's seeing what's going to happen. He says, and I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Listen to this, for the witness of Jesus. What is a witness? You know, the word witness is the word martyr. You hear me? But that means somebody who's willing to die to maintain a good and biblical witness. You hear me? That's what a witness is. That's somebody who's willing to die to maintain their witness, their example, and the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And that's why the next thing says, for the word of God. There's a bunch of people out there claiming they know Jesus, but they don't believe the Bible. They don't believe the word of God. They don't hold the doctrines of Christ. They don't hold the doctrines of the scripture, the sound doctrine. So they're already in trouble. But they must have the witness of Jesus. So he said he saw people who had the beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. They would not deny the word of God. They wouldn't be ashamed of the word of God. Which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now let me say this, something you need to focus in on here. Yeah, Revelation 13 said that there's going to be a mark in the right hand of the forehead. Here it says hands, and here it says in their head. So I'm not going to get caught up with what hand it is. I don't care. They're not putting it in my left hand. They're not putting it in my right hand. They're not putting it in my right or left shoulder. They're not putting it in my right or left cheek back there. They're not putting it in anything. Okay? Government's done putting anything in me or my children. That's the way it is. You're done. You're finished. Okay? Nothing's going in me. But he said he saw these people, what? Beheaded because they would not submit. Listen, worship, again, is simply as simple as submitting, obeying, honoring. You hear what I'm saying? We must refuse. This beast system that's coming upon us, this Antichrist system, this Antichrist spirit that's permeating almost all the governments of the world. It's here, and they're beginning to try to force it and push it, and it's only going to get worse. So you got to make up your mind. It's not going to be just about losing a job. It may be about losing your head, your freedom. And if you don't think that that's real, we'll see. Well, listen, he said, the rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now, let me clue some people in out there, you pre-trib rapture fanatics. Because you're not getting out of here, and you need to be warned. You're not getting out of here. You will face this, the mark and everything else. But you need to understand there's only two resurrections. Two and only two mass resurrections. One we call the rapture. When the dead in Christ rise first, and then we which are alive and remain are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4, the rapture, the catching away. It really should be called the first resurrection. That's what he's talking about. The people who died here because they resisted the beast and the mark were in the first resurrection. They were in the rapture. So the rapture cannot happen before the Antichrist, before the mark of the beast. Cannot, will not. See, this is not just Pastor Dean's belief. This is Bible. This is the fact. All right? You cannot like it. I know you've been indoctrinated by your Baptist preachers and your Scofield Reference Bible and your Darby nonsense. But you're not leaving. You hear me? You're not leaving. You will face this, Christian. You will face the choice of worshiping the beast, submitting to this system, honoring this system, bowing to this system, and taking this mark so you can buy and sell. You will face this. Unless you die before, unless you die soon, you're going to face it. Okay? That's why he said that this is the first resurrection. Those, he said, blessed are they. Look.
Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So this tells you that this first resurrection is before the 1,000-year millennial reign. This is at the end of the tribulation. This is at the second coming of Jesus. And those who are resurrected as born-again Christians, righteous, walking with the Lord, those who are resurrected and then we which are alive, changed, and given an immortal body, it says we're part of the first resurrection. The second resurrection is 1,000 years later. And that resurrection is when all the wicked, unsaved, dead are going to be brought up out of hell to stand before God to give an account of their lives. They're going to open the books. It's kind of like when people go to jail, right? You go to jail and you have a preliminary hearing, and then you have a sentencing. So before you have a sentencing, you're still in jail. Right? And then you usually go from, once you get sentenced, you go back to the courtroom and you get sentenced. You go from the city jail or the county jail to the state. You go from bad to worse, right? But this is the way it is. And this is what's happening. This persecution is coming. Some of you will be put into prison. Some of you will be put to death. And some of you will supernaturally escape it because God has some other things he wants you to do. You can't worry about who you are. Just be faithful to Jesus. Be faithful to him. Seek him. Obey him. Live holy and righteous before him. You hear me? Don't let them get you to deny Jesus for anything. Now, let's keep going here. Now, Romans 13. Now, there's a bunch of weak-kneed, soy boy, skinny jeans, suits that don't fit preachers. I don't understand that. I mean, how's the style now, the suits that don't fit? They look like they're Pee Wee Herman. Most of them sound like him, too. Maybe you wonder if they're taking hormone treatments. This is one of the most misused passages in the New Testament by churches who are going to get their congregations to worship the beast and take his mark. They're going to do it. These are the FEMA boys. These are the ones working with FEMA. Like I said, I got the invitation to work for FEMA. I said, no, thank you. I don't work for FEMA. I work for Jesus Christ. You hear me? Let's read this. Romans 13. Let's clear up some stuff. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers or authorities. For there is no power but of God. These are authority. And the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror. Now listen to this. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Now, granted, there's evil rulers. We'll get to that in a second. He says, but rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power or authority? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Now, before I read any more, I want to say this. We got a bunch of rebels out here that think they don't have to get a marriage license, a hunting license, that they don't have to pay their taxes. I mean, goodness, Kent Hovind went to jail for that, didn't he? You know, I guess they think they're sovereign citizens. Sorry, but we have authority. We have governmental authority. And God said all this authority is ordained by him. Now, those authorities can choose to do good or do evil, but let me tell you something. What the Bible tells us to do is do that which is good. We're supposed, Jesus said, render to Caesar what is Caesar. You pay your taxes, right? You try everything you possibly can to submit to the authorities. You hear what I'm saying? I don't like to buy a hunting license or a fishing license. And if it came down to such a bad time that I had to go do it for my food and to provide for my family, I would break the law. You know what I'm saying? But I don't have to right now. Right. I mean, I don't even believe I need a gun permit, but I have one in my wallet. Why? Because I'm not going to fight the authority on every little detail. I'm not going to be a rebel. I mean, we got people shacking up saying we're spiritually married. You best just get really married. You understand me? Because I'm not fooling with you unless you got a marriage license. All right? I may give you a little moment of grace, but this rebel stuff, I mean, the same people, I'm not getting a marriage license. We're spiritually married. Do you have a driver's license? Are you prepared to go to jail when they catch you driving without one? And people say, well, the state has nothing to do with me getting married. Well, let me tell you what will have something to do when you get divorced and when you have children and you got to deal with all that mess. You're going to want the state in there then, won't you? Especially if the two of you don't agree. You'll be calling on the state to help you out. If you're going to get married, get married. Don't tell me you want in the ministry school and you don't have a marriage license. But get out of fornication. You hear me? Because if you're not married with a marriage license, you're committing fornication. I know, I'm spiritual. I'm going to hear it. I mean, I'm spiritually married. Yeah, okay. Some of these women don't understand. These guys are talking about we're spiritually married. Have like three or four spiritual wives. They just, you don't know about them yet, right? That's true. I got one in Oklahoma and one in Texas and one in Arkansas and one in Alabama. Yeah, they're traveling, right? Their job, that's when they have to travel. Yeah. How convenient for them. None of it has to be, you know, legal and recorded. Yeah, right? Anyway, I digress. Verse 4 here. Somebody out there needed to hear that, and they're mad at me right now, but you'll get right with God, and you'll be all right with me. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. Talking about those in authority. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, or avenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. So he's telling us, even if you look this up, when it talks about the authorities, it's actually governmental authority. The word, if you look it up, it means protector. So the government's true job, the authority's job, is to protect the good people and to punish, even to death sometimes, the wicked, the evil people. But see, Satan gets involved and things get twisted. But notice he said he's the minister to God for good. Now, this is where it gets interesting. It says, we'll read verse 5. Wherefore, you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. So we do this for conscience sake so that we don't appear to be a bunch of disobedient, rebellious people. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this thing. Tribute is taxes. And then he says this, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Now notice he says, render these things to whom it is due. There is a point where we say no, okay? And I've shared this several times, but we say no just like they did right here. The apostles were told, here in Acts chapter 5, do not preach anymore in the name of Jesus, right? They were already, and they were beaten, and they were thrown in jail. They get out, don't preach anymore. What'd they do? Went straight back to preaching. Preaching Jesus in the street, in the temple. Acts 5:27, and when they brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. So get it down in you again. And I know I've said it in the last few weeks and months. There comes a point as a Christian that you've tried to get along with the state, with the government, with the authorities, but when they start demanding things completely contrary to the scripture, fundamental things like preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, teaching the word of God, putting neurotoxins in your body, poisoning you, or telling you you can't gather together in a building or a home to study the Bible or worship Jesus, or don't sing. That's when we say, no. Now, guess what? There's a bunch of pastors around here that just bowed the knee and kissed the boot. But there's some ministers that haven't. Let's keep going here. Now, I get this email from a group called the Liberty Council. If you don't know who they are, you need to look them up. They're a good group of guys. I had a Zoom call with one of their head guys in this organization. And basically, they're a group, a legal group of lawyers that defend pastors and churches and Christians when First Amendment violations and other civil rights issues come up. They're Christian, and they're true Christians. We had like a two-hour Zoom call, all right? And so he started sending me this, but this is what he said here, and we're going to go through some of this, but he said, we've reached a point in America at which the faithful remnant must stand against the overt persecution seeking to shutter and silence God's people and churches. So I was reading this. I just got this one. This was August 22nd. What is today? 23rd. So this was yesterday. So there's August 20th. They always have an update, an article. And we're going to go through this because I want you to see this. These are the people actually prosecuting the case in California when Project Veritas busted the Planned Parenthood and caught them on video talking about selling baby body parts. Okay? So this, they actually, Liberty Council, they have an office right across the street from the Supreme Court building in D.C. But this is always a prison for pastors and parishioners. The pastors I discussed below have put everything on the line for Christ. Each one has been criminally charged or faces criminal charges. In two cases, the parishioners, church members, also face criminal charges. They face massive fines and prison, all for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, or in the case of church members, merely assembling to worship. And this right here in America. Now let's keep going. Here's just some of them. Rodney Howard Brown, arrested, booked, two criminal charges, 6 months in jail, $2,500 in fine per charge. Dr. Jack Roberts and all attendees of drive-in church, stay in vehicle, 14-day quarantine and house arrest. Pastor Kevin Wilkinson, 16 attendees in a 293-seat church, 1 year in jail, $2,500 fine. Do you hear that? 16 people. In a 293-seat church? These are cases they're handling right now. Pastor Christian Lonescu, I don't know how to say that, disorderly conduct, 1 year in jail, thousands in fines, threats from the city. Pastor Daniel Chu, I guess that is, disorderly conduct, 1 year in jail, thousands in fines, threats from the city. Those must be in Chicago. And Pastor Cheyenne, every churchgoer, a criminal, 1 year in jail, thousands in fines per day. Let's look at this. This is the questions right now. If you're in California, Illinois, will the police come and arrest me today? Will they handcuff me like a common criminal in front of my family? Will my church be closed? Will my staff be arrested? Will my parishioners, church members be arrested? Who will care for my flock if my church is closed and I'm in jail? Who will care for my family when I leave home for church? Will I return or be booked with a mugshot? I mean, this is going on right now. This is what's facing pastors in these states, in these different states. Let's look at the details here. California, Pastor Cheyenne, Harvest Rock Church, the staff and every single churchgoer face criminal charges of 1 year in jail and 1,000 in fines per day. The Pasadena City prosecutor this week threatened daily criminal charges against everyone who assembles at the church. Remember that word, assembles at the church, okay? for religious meetings. Meanwhile, the mayor of Los Angeles, where one of the affiliate churches is located, has threatened to cut off all power and water to the church. Dr. Jack Roberts, Kentucky, Maryville Baptist Church, along with every attendee of the church's drive-in Eastern service. They would do a drive-in. I wouldn't even do a drive-in service. But this church was trying to get along with the state. But no, your Democrat Governor Beshear of Kentucky told his state police to issue fines and all kind of stuff. So anyway, 14-day house arrest for attending church along with threats of criminal charges. Maine, this crazy woman. The crazy man, what's the woman, the governor in Maine, what's her name? She's got people now wearing the face shield, you know, that comes down like this, upside down like a dog cone in restaurants. Let me tell you, if you wear the cone of shame, you deserve whatever's coming to you because you are a fool. I'm not joking. Nancy showed it to me last night. I was like, what? What? I was about to go to sleep. What? This is why I don't go to sleep. Like, show me something like that, my blood pressure goes up. This is the governor of Maine, Janet Mills. Y'all better quit electing these fools. These New World Order, anti-Christ, anti-Christian, anti-church, baby-killing, homosexual agenda pushing. I mean, how a Democrat gets elected in America, I don't understand. I mean, I found out, Christians, I got fired from a church because a group of Christians who said they were filled with the Holy Ghost decided they were going to push Obama for president. And I told him, I said, the man is pro-abortion all the way to the end, and he's pro-homosexual agenda and everything else. Well, we're still voting for him. They told me, just because of his skin color. Now, when you're only a white guy in the room that's got to tell a bunch of black folks that you shouldn't vote for somebody based on their skin color, it should be what the content of their character, something has gone wrong among Christians. These were Christians. I had one lady, we were working in a house here in Opelika. One lady said, if they knew Obama was the devil, they were still going to vote for him because of his skin color. I'm not joking you. That was said to us. You wonder how we're going to get the Antichrist? It's coming. People will love him. People saying Trump's the Antichrist. Y'all, people hate Trump. Only half of America loves Trump. Everybody else hates Trump. The world don't want Trump to be their world leader. Are you just insane? These people are nuts. And they call themselves truthers. I like what Paint Take calls them, goofers. Goofer truthers. All right? But here we go. House arrest. Maine. Calvary Chapel. Faced criminal charges. 6 months in jail. Thousands in fines. Government. Yo, there it is. Janet Mills. COVID shutdown orders. But see, here's what's so bad. I talk about these Democrats, but we got these. Kay Ivey, our governor here in Alabama, shutting stuff down. Threatening people with fines if they don't wear a mask. Telling churches you can't have more than 10 people in there. Okay. Meemaw Nazi. And it just goes on down the list. Look at all these. 30 days in jail. 6 months in jail. These are pastors. Pastors getting arrested and charged. Entire congregations being threatened. Churches being threatened to shut them down. Lock the doors up. Seize their buildings in America. Now, I'm just going to jump on here. Let's get to this. I'm going to try to do this in 15 minutes. Civics lesson time. All right, everybody. It's time to learn the First Amendment. This is from the website I'm working on. I got a whole article on the First Amendment. So we're going to run through some of the high points here. First Amendment. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. But Corona. No. I'm sorry. And I'll explain to you in a minute, the 14th Amendment assures that the states have to adhere to this. Okay? Congress shall make no law, and you could say neither the states, respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble. They can't tell us, number one, how we can practice our religion, nor can they tell us we don't have the right to assemble. And this, I'm going to show you, is not revocable in any emergency or crisis in America. Because, see, Americans should know that freedom is not free, and that Americans should know that we are birthed on the principle of give me liberty or give me death. That it's that important. I'm willing to risk my life to maintain my freedom. Oh, but you'll infect somebody. Let me tell you something. If you're scared of getting corona, you stay home. Don't tell me I got to stay home. You want to be a hermit and live in fear? Go do it. There's little people out there, I hope you die of corona. I'd rather die free with corona than die hiding in fear. Since when did Americans become such a bunch of soft, wimpy snowflakes? Let's read this. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press. Oh, guess what? The press is not just ABC, CBS, and CNN. Guess what? QAnon's press. And yet, it's getting censored. But that's another for another day. But they shall make no law, get this, prohibiting, because notice all these semicolons, prohibiting the right of the people to assemble. Everybody see that? See, what most Americans have forgotten somehow is that the Constitution of the United States is the supreme law of our country. Nothing supersedes it. Not a governor, not a mayor, no one. Not even Congress can violate this. They can make all the laws they want, but they cannot. They won't be constitutional laws. You hear me? Now let's look at this. I've done my homework. Somebody said I should have been a lawyer years ago. I actually would have enjoyed it. This is just something I wrote. I said, the sad thing is that most Americans do not understand that the United States Constitution is the supreme law of our country. No law, order, decree, or ordinance can be made by any person or public official that contradicts, attempts to supersede, or prohibit the rights stated in the Constitution. In fact, most Americans do not know that it is illegal for any public official or someone claiming to be in a position of civil authority to violate our constitutional rights. No president, governor, mayor, police officer, sheriff, federal agent, health official, judge, senator, congressman, or member of the United States military are allowed to deprive any of us from our rights, privileges, or immunities secured or protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States. Now look at this. Say, Pastor Dean, that's just you. No, the Department of Justice agrees with me. And there's a law in the books about this. It's called the Deprivation of Rights Under Color of Law. All right, I'm gonna read the Department of Justice explanation of this law before we read it. Here's what it says. Section 42 of Title 18 makes it a crime. It is a crime What Kay Ivey did, restricting churches' right to assemble as we see fit to practice our religion, was not only unconstitutional, it is a crime. She broke the law. Okay? So Section 242 of Title 18 makes it a crime for a person acting under color of any law to willfully deprive a person of a right or privilege protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States. For the purpose of Section 242, acts under color of law include acts not only done by federal, state, or local officials within their lawful authority, but also acts done beyond the bounds of that official lawful authority. If the acts are done while the official is purporting or pretending to act in the performance of his or her official duty. So as governor, I decree. You better be careful, sugar, what you decree it. Because the moment you deprive me of my constitutional rights, you commit a crime. Goes on to say, it says, if the official is purporting or pretending to act in the performance of his or her official duties, persons acting under the color of law within the meaning of this statute include police officers, prison guards, and other law enforcement officials, as well as judges, care providers in public health facilities, and others who are acting as public officials. It is not necessary that the crime be motivated by animus toward the race, color, religion, sex, handicap, familial status, or national origin of the victim. The offense is punishable by a range of imprisonment up to a life term or the death penalty, depending on the circumstances of the crime and the resulting injury, if any. Now let's read the actual law. Here it is, Title 18, United States Code, Section 42. And it says, whosoever under color of any law, statute, ordinance, regulation, or custom willfully subjects any person in any state, territory, commonwealth, possession, or district to the deprivation of any rights, privileges, or immunities secured or protected by the Constitution or laws of the United States shall be fined under this title or imprisoned not more than 1 year or both, and if bodily injury results from the acts committed in violation of this section, or if any such acts include the use, attempted use, or threatened use of a dangerous weapon, maybe like choking a woman in the street over a mask. It says that if the death results from the acts committed in violation of this section, or if such acts include kidnapping or an attempt to kidnap, aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to commit aggravated sexual abuse, or an attempt to kill, shall be fined under this title or imprisoned for any term of years for life, or both, or may be sentenced to death. So this law states, if any public official deprives you or uses their authority to deprive you of any of your constitutional rights, they have committed a crime. You hear me? Now listen to this. Let's just read it again. I'm going to read this. This is part of my article here. The Constitution, a.k.a. the supreme law of the United States of America, declares Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. It also clearly states that we have the rights to freedom of speech, even if it offends liberals, and freedom of the press, not just the mainstream media. We also have the right to peaceably assemble, and we have the right to protest our government with or without bearing arms. It's our choice. And Americans are to never be deprived of these rights by anyone, regardless of the crisis or upheaval that our nation may be going through. The U.S. Supreme Court made this very clear a long time ago. Let's read the Supreme Court ruling from 1866, Ex parte Milligan. You can look it up yourself. Here's what it says. The Constitution of the United States is a law for rulers and people equally in war and in peace, and covers with the shield of its protection all classes of men at all times and under all circumstances. Do you hear that? You may not be deprived, as a United States citizen, you may not be deprived of your First Amendment, Second Amendment, any of your rights, no matter what the crisis, no matter what the circumstance. So that means even coronavirus. we can lock you up in your house. No, you can't. We can shut down how you worship. No, you can't. So I've read to you law, United States law, and a Supreme Court precedent, right? Goes on to say, no doctrine involving more pernicious consequences was ever invented by the wit of man than that any of its provisions can be suspended during any of the great exigencies of government. Such a doctrine leads directly to anarchy or despotism. But the theory of necessity on which it is based is false for the government. Within the Constitution has all the powers granted to it which are necessary to preserve its existence and has been happily proved by the result of great effort to throw off its just authority. So what he's saying here is if you violate this, then you're headed toward tyranny. You're headed toward a dictatorship. Because the government can say, oh, we're in a war now, so you don't get your free speech. We're in a war now, so you can't meet for church. No, no, no. No crisis. Your First Amendment right to worship as you see fit, to peaceably assemble, cannot be infringed or prohibited by any official. See, we're not a democracy, folks. We are a republic. A constitutional republic, meaning the Constitution of the United States is above every other authority or law. You understand? But see, we keep taking this crap. And corrupt people in government, both Republican and Democrat, if they start taking it and we say nothing and we do nothing, they keep taking it. And your freedom just keeps disappearing. And you just keep bowing the knee. Now get this. It gets better. Cornell Law School. I think they're pretty reputable, well-respected law school, right? Is Cornell Ivy League? Is it one of the Ivy League schools? It is? Okay. It's an Ivy League school here, right? Cornell Law. This is what they state on their page when they explain the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. This is the free exercise clause here. I'm going to read this to you. I told you you're going to have a civics lesson today, so just bear with me, right? It says here, free exercise. Legal Information Institute, Cornell Law. The Free Exercise Clause reserves the right of American citizens to accept any religious belief and engage in religious rituals, meaning we practice our religion as we see fit. No one can tell us how. If that means gathering together, guess what? We gather together. We want to eat together? We eat together. All right? Free exercise clauses of state constitutions which protected religious opinion, expression of opinion, and practice were all expressly protected by the free exercise clause. The clause protects not just religious beliefs, but actions made on behalf of those beliefs. More importantly, the wording of state constitutions suggests that free exercise envisions religiously compelled exemptions from at least some generally applicable laws. Now, this is what it's saying here, is that because of the First Amendment, if there are laws in your state or city that go against them, that the church or the people who want to practice their religion can break those laws. So even what I'm saying is, I gave you scripture a minute ago, we ought to obey God rather than men. But in America, our own law says that we can break the law to keep the First Amendment, to practice our religion freely. This is another reason they will hate us, because they think the church should bow to the fear of the coronavirus. Well, let me tell you something. As long as you do that, there's going to be another coronavirus and another one and another one and another one. Because this is biological warfare is what we're facing here. So he goes on to say the free exercise clause not only protects religious belief and expression. It also seems to allow for violation of laws, as long as that violation is made for religious reasons. Now, this is very important that you understand this, because if they make a law mandating a vaccine, or if they make a law that churches can't meet and there'll only be 10 people or whatever, they start making these laws. If they try to make these laws, no, according to the First Amendment, we can break these laws. I hope you hear it. This is Cornell Law. This isn't Pastor Dean right here. It goes on to say here, historically, listen to this. And see, the Supreme Court, let me just go ahead and say this. The Supreme Court does not always get everything right. We know that Roe v. Wade, right? They get it wrong sometimes. Obamacare, that was wrong. The Supreme Court gets things wrong all the time. And notice it says, historically, the Supreme Court has been inconsistent, meaning they've gone both ways on this, in dealing with this problem. At various times, the court has either applied a broad or narrow application to the law. When the First Amendment was drafted, it applied only to the U.S. Congress. As such, state and local governments could abridge the free exercise clause as long as there was no similar provision in the state constitution. In 1940, the Supreme Court upheld Cantwell versus Connecticut that due to the 14th Amendment, the free exercise clause is enforceable against state and local governments. This act of using the 14th Amendment as the vehicle through which the court applies the Bill of Rights of the states is also known as the incorporation doctrine. So states try to say, well, that's because it says Congress shall make no law. Doesn't mean we can't. They always try to take authority, right? So the 14th Amendment, no, states have to obey the free exercise clause, the First Amendment. Now, let me ask someone, just a raise of hands in here. Who knew this stuff before today? And we're Americans. I bet most of you could not quote the First Amendment to me today if I tested you. And yet, it's the most important. Well, I don't know. The second protects this one, right? Look at this. I just want to show you. This is the kind of stuff I get. Because, see, they've come for the First Amendment. They will come for the second. How could someone send me this? Me. How could I get this email? Stop Republicans. Petition. Pass a law to confiscate all AR-15s and other assault weapons. They sent that to me. I'm like, first of all, I'm a registered Republican voter. Second of all, I'm an NRA member. Third, there's pictures and videos of me shooting guns all the time. How did I get this? I don't know. Maybe the Lord wanted me to see it. But let me tell you, if we allow them to take away the first, they're coming for this one, the second. Most of you don't even know the fourth. To protect you from unreasonable search and seizure of your property, for your privacy. That's being invaded. Our governor here in Alabama just okayed Google and Apple to track you with your phone. I'd say that's a violation of the Fourth Amendment as well. You have no business tracking me. And so if I'm sitting in my home, you have no business checking to see if I'm in my home. You have no right to invade my privacy, according to the Fourth Amendment. And if you do, you better have a warrant. You better have probable cause and a warrant. Most people don't know. People don't know the Fourth Amendment. I would say now, if ever before, more than ever before, you better learn the Bill of Rights. And some of our leaders, I'm coming for you. Because we're done playing these little games. I'm a conservative Christian, principled conservative Christian. No, you're a criminal. When you told me I had to shut down my church, you committed a crime. You should be in prison. It's about to get real around here because I'm sick and tired of it. And see, that's the problem. Americans, we got to get sick and tired of it. You're not telling me how I can or cannot worship. You're not telling me how I can or cannot practice my religion or what I can say. YouTube, Facebook, all this censorship, they need to be taken over as public, utilities, and be forced to uphold the First Amendment. And guess what? Any of us can be press. You don't have to go. Where's the press stamp that I go? Where's the government office that I get a press stamp to tell me I can be the press? It's ridiculous. If I report what's going on, I'm the press. Nonsense. Even our legislature, the Alabama legislature, will not let you in unless you are some type of official press. Okay. I'm going to tell you what. I get more listeners per month than probably the Opelika Auburn News gets people that read their paper. I should get a press pass. I ought to just go try and then lock me out and then go sue them for violating my First Amendment right to be the press. Right? Y'all hear what I'm saying? Your freedom's disappearing. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. Yes, I know some Freemasons and some deists were involved in the founding of America, but God will use anybody he wants. But the first people that came here, you know, those pilgrims, you know, the Mayflower, that whole story, the beginning of it all. I've seen the rock, 1620. So before 1776, what were they doing? They wanted to find a land where they could worship God, be Christians, worship Jesus, follow Jesus freely without persecution, without fear of death. They were fleeing the persecution of the Roman Catholic Church in Europe. Yeah, the Roman Catholic Church is the enemy of the true church. Always has been, always will be. And so you can say what you want to say, but our country, the principles of freedom, is Bible. The principles of freedom to worship, Bible. God doesn't even want to force anybody to worship him. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. You choose. Whomsoever will. Right? Freedom. I can't wait till one of these stupid libtard, and yes, I say stupid. Let me say this. Somebody got offended because I said stupid. Can I just tell y'all how many times I find words in the Bible in nice King James English that means stupid? I just found some more. Foolish, brutish. You look it up in the Greek dictionary, stupid. It's what the way they define the word. But really, think about it, you guys. I can't wait for one of these reporters. Well, do you want to make Alabama a theocracy? Oh, God, just wait. The response, I am ready for them. Theocracy. Nobody wants a theocracy. You know what? I want Americans to just be American. If you want to be a Buddhist, go be a Buddhist. That's your choice. You're wrong. You're deceived. But you're free to be stupid. You're free to be whatever you want to be. And that's what we should want. Because, see, look, you know, some Christians, there are some Christians out there that have trying to, you know, almost push Christianity into the government too far. I understand that. I don't want to tell anybody they can't be what they want to be. Because the moment I try to take some part of your freedom and that's allowed, then mine can be taken. So if you want to be a Buddhist, be a Buddhist. You want to be a Muslim, be a Muslim. You want to do that? That's your choice in America. We want you to have that choice. We want you to be free to choose. But I want to stay free to choose. You see what I'm saying? The moment we say protesters can go in the streets and tear stuff up and burn up buildings and injure police and loot and steal and rob and don't wear a mask and don't social distance and nobody goes to jail over that and it's all fine, but a church can't meet, we have a huge problem. Yeah, huge, huge problem. So, it's real simple for me. It's freedom or slavery. And you better speak up. You better use your voice. Because that's really what it comes down to. And it's not just this election. This election is huge. I know there's people out there, there's no votes that count. Oh, God. That's another civics lesson. I have to explain to people how the election process works from state to state and county to county and all that stuff. But let's see if they can figure out the First Amendment, and then we'll go on to the election processes in states. All right? We got to fight. We got to stand up. Our forefathers, many of them Christians, many of them pastors who left their churches to fight in the Revolutionary War. Now we got pastors that won't even meet. I find it hard to comprehend how far we've come. As a country, we used to be tough. We used to be scary. We scared the rest of the world because they just said, there's Americans, they're crazy. They're just tough. They're just independent. They're tough. They demand their freedom. They'll fight for it. You know, even Australians. When I think of Australians, I think of independent people, tough people, strong people. How did they let that happen to them? What has happened? We're about to let it happen to us, though. I'm telling you, if I was in Australia, boy, we'd have to form an uprising against a tyrannical government. Oops, we let them take our guns. Can't do it. Well, that's when you pull a John McClane, you know, from Die Hard. You just kill the guy with a machine gun and say, "Ho, ho, ho! Now I have a machine gun," right? Whatever it takes. You say, "Pastor Dean, are you look?" To protect my wife and my child and the rest of you, I would do what was necessary. I would pick up a rifle if I had to defend you from harm, to defend my family. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. And if I was governor of the state of Alabama and United Nations troops were marching toward our border, I would order the air guard to attack them. And I'd pick up a rifle, and I'd head that way myself. That's where we are, folks. Let's stand. Father in heaven, we thank you for all that you've blessed us with. We thank you for our nation. And we know, God, that we have sinned. We have let ignorance and passivity and everything else allow evil people to come in and rule us and control us and try to take from us the freedom to worship you, the freedom to provide and protect our families. They want to take all that from us. Lord, I pray that many will begin to seek you and take a stand and start to speak out and take action against this Antichrist spirit, this move toward tyranny, this disappearing freedom, that we'll fight for it in Jesus' name. And that we will be a light for Jesus, even if it cost us our life, that we will be a light and a witness for Jesus Christ, for the gospel, and for our nation to defend it, to stand up for it, because it is our home. Lord, I pray you put that in people's hearts. I know there'll be many who think it's ridiculous. They've given up. But that's on them. We thank you, God, for all that you have done and all that you will do. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us do what we need to do in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. All right. It's only 12:15. I did good. Really? Oh, boy. There's people out there that think that you should never, ever take someone's life in defense of another. That's just not true. It's not biblical. It's not true. In fact, Proverbs 24 is very clear that if you see someone drawn toward death and it says you forbear to deliver them, you're going to pay for it. That kind of thinking means we should sit back and just do nothing and let them keep killing babies in these abortion clinics. See, I believe defense of my family is provision. You know, Jesus talked about in Luke, he told them after all that, go buy a sword. Why did he tell them to go buy a sword? Look, I'm going to tell you, it's a different, and I've touched on this before, but look, if I'm on the street corner preaching the gospel and somebody wants to kill me, then it's going to happen because I'm not going to defend that. But if somebody decides they're going to come in my house and try to rape my wife and daughter and kill us and torture them, no, bad day for them, wrong house. And if you want to twist your beliefs into passivity, go right ahead. But most people that say that don't have a wife, don't have children, or have lost their minds. Because if I, look, does the Bible not say if I don't provide for my own house, I've denied the faith and I'm worse than an infidel, right? So I'm required as a husband to provide shelter, food, clothing. Why? So that my family cannot die, so that they can live and thrive. My job is that. Now, if I'm supposed to provide so they can eat, have clothes, be warm in the winter, so that they can live, you mean I'm supposed to sit back and let peacekeepers come rape my wife and daughter and just watch it happen? Or Muslims, radical Muslims come in and you think I'm just supposed to let that happen? No, part of providing for my wife and daughter is providing security, safety, and protection. And in America, as a man, any normal man, I'm going to say any normal man because we got a bunch of effeminate men right now, but any normal man understands deep in his gut, you do whatever is necessary to protect the women and the children. That's just the way it is. Huh? And your brother, exactly. I mean, I sat next to a circuit court judge many years ago. We were friends. And he used to tell me, he was a born-again Christian, and he used to tell me flat out, he said, if you were driving down the road, he said this to me one day, we were sitting right next to each other, having breakfast. And he said, Dean, if you were riding down the road and you saw a man taking a baseball bat to a two-year-old, he said, if you pulled up and you shot and killed that man, he said, in my courtroom, you go free. Because you're doing what's necessary to try to defend the defenseless. So let me tell you right now. In my house, I am the police. I am 911. Because I am the authority. You understand? So, quit believing lies, people. There's a time. It's not, the other people will get this stuff a lot of times. Well, it's just one blanket way of everything. No. There's a time and season for everything. Ecclesiastes said there's a time of peace and there's a time of war. There's a time to kill, there's a time to keep alive. There's some folks, let me tell you, these pedophiles need to be taking a dirt nap. Some serious stuff going on in this world. There's evil, folks. We are not to sit back and let evil just do whatever it wants. Okay? But there's a right way and a wrong way to go about doing that. But we can do it. And I'm going to tell you out there, if you're snowflake and this hurts your sensitivities, then find some other preacher to listen to. Frankly, I don't care about your feelings. All right? Like I said, I'm a man, not a mouse. Somebody came in my house, they would see the 25-year-old Dean come out. He would come out. I'd fight 10 of them if I had to. All right? To protect them. See, that's the difference. It's not about me. It's about them. About you guys. Hopefully you'll learn that, whoever you are. Yes? Okay. All right. Let's pray. I tell you what. Y'all want to do one song since it's not 12:30 yet? All right. Do one song. That's it. Waymaker. Let's do that one again. All right. We'll go out with this song. We love y'all. Hurry up and register for Skyfall. It's getting closer and closer. Skyfallconference.org is coming quick. So register quickly. All right. Let's do it.
Turning lives around. You are here. Oh. Above depression, His name is above loneliness. Oh, His name is above disease, His name is above cancer, His name is above every other name.
Praise you, Lord. We worship you. Thank you, Jesus. That is who you are. Lord, we praise you and we worship you today. Again, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. Yeah, before we get out of here, I want to say this. You know, some of these folks out here, they got a problem with defending your wife, your children, your home. Listen, if someone breaks in your house, a bunch of rapists, Satanists, murderers, whatever, don't call the police then, because don't call somebody else to come shoot them. Is that what you're calling the police for? Get them to do my dirty work for me. Yep, so don't call them. Right? Just whatever happens, flip a coin. Right? Isn't there something? Again, Americans. Somebody else come do it for me, it's all right. But if I do it, it's bad. No. Folks better get some understanding quick. Huh? Yeah. All right. Y'all ready to eat? We're about to eat around here. Together with no mask. God bless y'all. We love you.